Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My oh my, my name is Chris.
My name is Travis, and gosh, I mean, look, I'm always down to do this show. Like, I'm really always excited to talk about Kanye, but it's Friday. I planned on taking the day off, and Chris told me we had to rush into the studio and record, and I don't know what's going on. I've been on the internet today. Chris, what's happening?
It's the West Day ever. The West Day ever.
God, sounds like a hashtag waiting to happen. Okay, so tell me about this.
So, Kanye, he made his triumphant return to Twitter.
He's been gone for a few months now.
Yeah, unexpected, to say the least, that he would tweet something. He updated his profile picture. It's now that...
Oh, bless you. God bless you. Uh-oh. I think that was Archer's way of saying bless you.
I think it was.
I almost called him Archie because I've been watching Riverdale.
A lot of people call him Archie. But it's a fisheye lens of just like the sky with the sun in it. He tweeted a few things and they are game changers.
I'm skeptical a little bit, like how big could it be, but go ahead.
So the first tweet 8 hours ago, hashtag West Day ever, and it just showed a person in a jacket, a hoodie, pants, bending down and unzipping or zipping up a bag. You don't know what it is, but it accompanied the announcement that Kanye was partnering with The Gap to have a Yeezy and Gap partnership.
Didn't he used to work there?
Oh, so you've heard the song Spaceship.
Yeah, I've a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of Kanye's first jobs, was at The Gap. I think he said something like his parents just told him, like, you got to go get a job, or his mom told him, you got to go get a job. And
yeah, then he had to go try to shine off 365 or whatever the number is.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a partnership that was actually in the works years ago, and now finally came to fruition today. And we'll have some more details about that very shortly. But 2 hours later, he tweeted the logo, the YZY of Yeezy with the blue of The Gap. And then 3 hours after that, a mere 3 hours ago, he he continued the West Day Ever hashtag with just a list of items, which we were going to be running through in today's episode.
It's, oh, God.
Yeezy Gap begins. Moa Lola joins as Yeezy Gap design director. Kid See Ghost cartoon, Murakami Cuddy. Jesus is King film on Apple, James Turrell. Yeezy Supply doc, Nick Knight. Foam Runner release, made in USA. Jesus is King, Dr. Dre version. And Wash Us in the Blood video, Arthur Jaffa.
Oh my gosh, you just said a bunch of nonsense words to me. I think I need to do some research before I can do this podcast. Will you give me a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll play the Silver Surfer intermission, and then when we come back, we'll be ready.
Okay.
It's your boy Max B. What's going on? Just checking in on you. Appreciate the love, the support. The wave is here. You a wavy dude anyway, so you already know. Ain't no problem. Ain't the game. You already know how this game thing goes. So do your wave. You got the official wave man. doing you, do your wave, and keep it loopy. I know you're going to keep it loopy, man. Shout out, just shout you out, hollering at you, man. It's all love. I appreciate the energy. And we here, and hit the town. We do something big. We're going to make a big tsunami up in this joint. You already know what it is.
Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer in the flesh.
Silver Surfer in the flesh, Max Bigavell, shout to Yeezy, what's good? I see you. It's love, appreciate it. It's honor, appreciate it. Wavy, baby, yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Wow, that was a... You weren't kidding. We really do need an emergency episode.
Absolutely. Like, this is a lot of meaningful stuff and interesting stuff after a year almost of Kanye being very quiet.
Yeah, wow, this is great. I mean, the biggest thing to me is the Gap news, because wasn't it a long time ago that he was supposed to partner with Gap?
Yeah, I want to say it was in the like 2000, like around the late registration graduation era.
Yeah, which is and of course you immediately think of Spaceship, and I mean that's just... I'm excited about like what's going to happen with that partnership, but just thinking about it on a broad level, like what a beautiful full circle story that Kanye started, you know, working at the Gap and had these dreams, aspire to like do more. And now here he is running the Yeezy $3 billion Yeezy empire, and he's partnering with Gap, and he's finally going to make hopefully affordable clothing for everybody. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, it really is, because that mission of affordable clothing for people has been one of the biggest things that he has wanted, and one of the biggest criticisms he's had is that all of his clothes have been at the premium pricing, which I think he's countered that even though his clothes cost more than normal, when you compare it to a lot of like high-end luxury brands from the top fashion houses, his stuff is still relatively cheap, but he wants to get it to where he's in like Walmart, Sears isn't the thing, is it? Like Walmart, Target, Gap, Kohl's. Like H&M, Kohl's, to where it's very affordable, but has that same highbrow and high esteem character. So the Gap is a great starting point for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a ton about business, but it makes sense to me in theory that in order for you to charge more affordable prices for your clothes, like, you have to be bigger, like you have to have more of an influence, more of a market, and you have to be in a place financially to be able to charge less for your clothes and make less of a profit off them, right? I mean, that probably all sounds stupid to someone who knows more about this stuff, but that makes sense to me in theory.
Absolutely. And man, the impact on Gap has been pretty huge already.
Oh, yeah.
Just from the time it was announced, Gap had closed the previous day like at $10.17 and it opened today at $12.53 and reached as high as $14.20. Like, overall currently it's hovering right around $12, which is up about 18%, which translated... I saw one tweet when it was only up like 12% that was $400 million in evaluation that they had gained. Wow. Just from the announcement. And now somebody said that it was closer to $1 billion. Like, what?
Man, during COVID, this is like what Gap needed.
Yeah, the Forbes tweet about it was, Gap Inc.'s stock price increased today after the struggling apparel retailer announced a deal with Kanye West's Yeezy fashion brand. And the details that we know right now is that it's a 10-year deal to create the Yeezy Gap line, and it's supposed to launch in the first half of next year, both in stores and online. So I may go into a Gap.
I will 100% be going into a Gap. That is not a question.
I didn't expect it, but it's happening.
I mean, man, that's just like, that just warms my heart and soul to hear the news. Like, that's so awesome that Kanye's doing that.
Yeah. And good on him. Like, really coming full circle with that one.
I actually had a question about this Yeezy Gap thing. I saw that somebody was going to be a designer. It was a bunch of syllables, and I was wondering if you knew how to pronounce this name.
It is Moalola.
Moalola, okay. She, Ugamasi. Yeah, Ogun Lessie. I read the interview you tweeted out, and that was really cool.
Yeah, it seems like she has quite the background. Nigerian-British descent. And, you know, I didn't think I was familiar with her work up to this point, but found out from this Complex article that she was actually the one that did the design for the recent Father's Day photo of the West family. So it's Kim, Kanye, and all the kids dressed up. And I was, kept saying that Kim and Kanye looked very much out of the Matrix. And this is why. The power of Mola Lola.
Neo West and Trinity Kardashian West.
That's right.
Man, that interview was cool, though. Like, I can see why Kanye wants to work with her. I mean, beyond just, like, liking her clothes, which her clothes seem very futuristic and very Kanye. Like, the way she talks and the way she looks at the world also seems very Kanye. Like, the fact that she's influenced by Fela Kuti and Nine Inch Nails, like, yeah, okay, I get it. And when, like, the guy asked her, or the woman, whoever was interviewer asked her, what was the skeleton key for you? Like, what made you realize, like, you wanted to do more? And she said, yeah, just what world do I want to live in? What do I want to see? That's the most important thing. You're designing for the world you want. You want to change the world with your clothes. What are you trying to say? Every time I design, there's a purpose. And I was just like, yeah, like, to me, that speaks to why Kanye got in the fashion in the first place. Like, it's more than about just like the clothing and the fabric. It's about like the energy you give off and what you do with your clothing.
Yeah. How it makes you feel, like what vibe it puts out into the world. There's a lot of power to what the fashion of a place,
yeah,
what fashion's available to people and what the fashion of a culture is.
Yeah. And I love that, like, it's so cool to see somebody like that agreeing to work with Kanye on a Gap line. Like, it's Gap. Like, Gap is not cool. It hasn't been cool for ages now. And here we are, like, these top designers, these people who want to do something different and transcend fashion. Like, they're working with Gap. It's so cool.
And that points to just one of the interesting inversions we've had recently, and one of the few, I want to say, good things that the internet has allowed for us. is this idea that before, if you wanted to succeed, you had to be under the thumb of a already established brand or entity, whether that's a person or a company, and they had that power because you were reliant on their network, on who they were and what they allowed for you. But in this current day and age, we're seeing more and more people be able to use the power of their brand and the reach that they have via the internet to go into spaces like The Gap and transform them, bringing their clout and their vision to an entity like that. And they have the power in that dynamic rather than just waiting for a Fendi or whoever else to bring them on and give them an opportunity. They can really bring something to somebody else.
Yeah. And Kanye was really forced into that, considering he wanted to get into the fashion and was just ridiculed by the fashion community and told that he couldn't do it. Just like, you know, same thing happened to him in music, and look at him now.
Yeah. I mean, his whole career, even no matter how successful he's been, each time he's wanted to do something new, he still met with that resistance. I mean, it goes back to the Sway interview, with Sway just being like, you know, you can do it yourself, right? And Kanye, even as recent as 2013, was saying, like, how can I do all this myself? I need the infrastructure. I need this. So to see these places now realizing we need to work with people rather than trying to have them work for us, like, that's a huge shift. And I think Kanye has been driving a lot of that.
Yeah. And good on him for exposing Mola Lola to the world. I was looking through all her shit, and that, I mean, I can't pull it off, but, you know, that's also the wrong attitude. I should believe in myself enough to pull that off.
Yeah, I'm ready for Matrix, Travis.
You know what? If I can look half as cool as Kanye, like, I'll put on that jacket.
I think you got this.
I don't know, but there's just something about him wearing that futuristic Matrix-style jacket with beautiful, like, spare Wyoming in the background, just like nothing but nature. Like, it's such a cool image.
Yeah, that contrast, right? which actually makes me think of the next piece of news, the Kids See Ghost cartoon. In the trailer, just jumping ahead a little bit, there's a moment where you see this, like, what seems like an evil tree monster. It's this, like, striking introduction in the trailer of the rail thin with a staff that looks like a scythe kind of thing on this castle. And you're like, oh, this is clearly the villain. Like, the leaves for hair almost seem like bats in a way. And at one point, this tree creature jumps up and transforms into a ship, or like a fighter jet, like a futuristic style fighter jet. So just that blending of the natural with the future, even within the Kids See Ghost cartoon, it seems like an aesthetic that Kanye is in a lot of ways becoming very fascinated by and interested in.
Yeah. To me, it kind of struck me as like an update of the woman in New Slaves, like this woman who comes to save you. Like, it's now become this like tree person who like rises up from the depths and is like there to guide them, these kids, you know, as they battle their ghosts. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. So this Kids See Ghosts animated show, it's going to be directed by Takashi Murakami. The Hell Kanye yeah. Bear is voiced by Kanye.
Holy shit.
And then Kid Fox is voiced by Scott Mascuti. And what's funny, I feel like originally, wasn't it when they first started meeting with Murakami, Kanye wanted Cuddy to be like a dog?
Really?
And Cuddy was like, I don't want to be a dog. I want to be a fox. Kind of like, nah, you're a dog. But he's a fox. And the sound design's by William J. Sullivan and Scott Mascuti. And the trailer shows them, it's very animated. Some people are calling it an anime, but it's much more animated than anime. though a lot of the action of it, or the tree character that turns into a fighter jet, is very anime.
I was wondering if like anyone knew what style of animation this was, or what kind of movie to compare it to. I can only think of anime when I see this, like Satoshi Kon and like movies like Paprika and stuff, like that really wild, colorful animation.
Yeah, except it's done in that like computer graphic design that I associate more with Western animation,
right,
than Japanese animation.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. But because it's Takashi Murakami coming from Japan, I think people view more anime, and of course it would seem like he would have more of that anime sensibility. It's interesting. It's going to be cool. But it starts off with them kind of on a school bus going about their day as regular kids before a ghost, the graduation ghost, comes after them. And then they enter this bizarre and fantastic world where it looks like there's some harrowing activity that happens. and you see them ultimately arrive at a castle. Like, there's a graveyard, and they're with the tree jet at the end as well.
I just wonder what this series is going to be like what the tone of it'll be, because Kids See Ghosts is a very heavy album. Like, when you break it down, like, it's ultimately about suicide and overcoming the temptation of committing suicide and wrestling with your demons and being at peace with yourself. Like, it's all very heavy material, but the cartoon strikes me as very like kid friendly. Like, and I start thinking about, like, you know, Kanye as a dad and like what he'd want his kids to see. Like, I wonder what, I'm really curious what the tone of the show will be.
Yeah. Well, it might not even be done. I'm seeing right here that Matthew A. Cherry, who actually, there's an interesting background. I went to South by Southwest in 2015, I think it was, and saw this film called 8 Rides, I think, and it was directed by Matthew A. Cherry, and it was shot entirely on an iPhone. It was being touted as, you know, this new frontier of filmmakers shooting movies entirely on the iPhone, and it's essentially an Uber driver on New Year's Eve driving these people around, and you learn more about his life, but also like this odyssey that he goes on through encountering the various people on the rideshare. Sometimes it's sexy, sometimes it's dangerous, sometimes it's just comedy. So you get a bunch of different tones. It was really good movie. But it's funny because Matthew Cherry was a defensive back in the NFL before he decided to leave and get into filmmaking. But at that time, I think he only had something like 15,000 followers on Twitter. And I've just seen him over the last handful of years really start to glow up, really have this presence on Twitter that was just gaining him followers. And then he won an Oscar for an animated short film. And he recently, 3 hours ago, said, "Looking great, Kid Cudi," quote tweeting Cudi's announcement. And Cudi said, "Matt," some emojis, "thanks, brother. Write an episode, haha."
Oh, that's interesting.
Matt said, "Shit, you know I'm down." And then Cudi followed up with, where is it? "Say fucking less. I'm going to text you and we'll rap about it."
Oh, wow. So it is happening.
It is happening, but they may not have any episodes written.
But they haven't written any words down yet.
Yeah, I'm curious at where it's at, if he's like recruiting writers at this point.
Well, it is a Kanye project, so we're pretty used to like hearing snippets of it and then not hearing anything from it for another year or so.
Yeah, so we'll see how close we are to that releasing. But then we have the Jesus is King film on Apple. Is this the movie?
Yeah, I was curious about that because I assume it's the movie because like James Turrell's name is associated with it and the whole movie kind of takes place in those little crater things he has going. What do they call it? What do you call it?
Just the Turrell crater. It's just funny because it's like a 30-year project that's cost millions of dollars that Kanye's in love with. And you're like, it's little crater things.
Oh, you know that little project he's working on. It's more of a hobby, I would say. But there was also, at the listening party, there was a documentary that played. And I don't know if Nick Knight directed it, but James Turrell was in it. And they were talking about, it's more about Kanye's domes. But he has a lot of conversations with James Turrell. And they're kind of talking, it's more about, they're kind of discussing the philosophy of architecture and like why they're motivated to do something with architecture. So I didn't know if that was the movie that was going to be on Apple. I looked on Apple and I didn't see any movies yet. So who knows what's going to pop up there.
Yeah, I would imagine because he said Jesus is King film and then Easy Supply doc, he's differentiating between film and doc. Though the Jesus is King movie was a doc. Wasn't it?
No, it's a movie. Did you see it?
I mean, I saw it, but it's just following real people singing and doing things in the Turrell crater.
I guess you're right. It's more of like, it's kind of like a mashup. Like you do just watch people sing, but then like there are plenty of shots of like hummingbirds pollinating shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Does this fall under, oh God, what's his name? That did, oh God, what's the movie?
Oh man, let's figure it out. This is fun.
Criterion Collection.
All right, good
sci-fi
start.
Sci-fi like essay documentary.
Andrei Tarkovsky?
No. Weirder than Tarkovsky. Less cinematic.
A Nostalgia for the Light?
No.
Criterion documentary.
No, it's not like
I'm fascinated by this.
Criterion sci-fi. Oh God, I just got all the Godzilla movies.
Do you remember anything about it?
Time travel.
Time travel.
Legite.
Oh, Legite, the pier.
Yeah, and Sans Soleil.
Of course,
Sans Soleil.
Yeah, I love that movie.
What is this? Who is this? Chris Marker. That's
Chris Marker. Yeah.
That's it. Chris Marker. So those are weird things. What is it? Legite is the one that feels more documentary like, but is actually.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you could argue it's more in that vein of Legite than like just doc. Like,
maybe.
Experimental filmmaking.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, it tells a kind of grander story that I think more than anything just kind of captures Kanye's aesthetic and like the vibe, just the vibe of him, not even his music, just like the vibe Kanye's trying to put out there, just like nature and choir and God and all that, and of course the Terrell creators.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was something that was in theaters for what, like just a couple weeks, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was almost my entire honeymoon, and I got back from my honeymoon on like a Wednesday and had to go see it at 10 a.m. on the last showing that was in Austin. And then a guy talked to me outside the theater for 2.5 hours.
And you didn't just walk away after like 5 seconds?
No, I'm way too polite in that situation. Like, and he talked at me. I said maybe 30 words in the 2 hours he was talking. But he was some like local art, like Austin artist slash former musician that had been part of like Austin skateboard grunge bands in the 90s. And like, it was a lot of interesting stories, but also a lot of like, what's happening?
And have you kept in touch?
No, yeah, no. Nope, did not become best friends. But it'll be nice that there's a lot of people that never got to see the film that will now hopefully have the opportunity.
Yeah, love it. I mean, it's a cool movie. It is, this probably sounds bad, but it is what it is. Like, don't expect like a movie, like with a story. Like, it is just really a bunch of shots of different shit while music is playing over. Like, but if you allow yourself to get lost in it, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, right? Right?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Then we have the Yeezy Supply doc by Nick Knight. Mm-hmm. So Kanye and Nick Knight have a bit of a relationship. Nick Knight actually directed the Jesus King film. And they go as far back as Kanye working with Nick Knight's company. Was it? Show something or other to put out the Lost in the World video.
Mm-hmm.
And then following that, with the release of Yeezus, he worked with Knight on Black Skinhead and Bound 2. So they go a bit of a ways back, and he's an acclaimed fashion photographer. Show Studio, that's what it is, showstudio.com. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of groundbreaking that he was working with Kanye back in 2013, but also like that the Bound 2 video is what they created, because a lot of people didn't get the context of what that video was doing and the portrayal of kind of in quotes white trash America aesthetic.
Hey, I got it. Also, like, crazy range right there, Black Skinhead video and Bound 2. Like, those videos are nothing alike, but they come from one mind.
Same duo collaborating on both those.
I love it.
And then he also photographed Travis Scott for his sophomore album Birds in the Trap Sing McKnight. So he's got bit of a recent hip-hop background. He's worked with some other artists on music videos and things, but them having more collaborations together will be interesting. Like, Knight definitely has an eye for cinematography, and a doc on Yeezy Supply will be pretty fascinating. One, just because it would be interesting to learn more about that aspect of Kanye and hear his thoughts. But two, we've had so many Kanye film projects not manifest over the years that would hopefully get this one and just see more behind the scenes of what's going on with him. Sounds like a delightful treat.
Yeah, some filmic insight would be awesome, because I mean, we've like read a lot of articles, like seen photos, like I don't know how much footage there is of Kanye in his element working on fashion. Like, I just think that would be amazing to see, like, how he's collaborating with people and what he's looking at and how he talks about it. Like, that's going to be a treat.
Very much so. Because all the recent interviews he's done, every time he's part of an interview, you learn something.
Yeah.
There's something, like, incredibly fascinating. Just the perspective and knowledge that he has, illuminating. But there's just a difference between, I don't know, there's something powerful about a doc.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Then what do we have going on here? Foam Runner release, made in USA. So Kanye has been wanting to manufacture in the US for a while. Even when he went to the White House with Trump, he was talking about, you know, how can we bring manufacturing back here. I want Yeezys to be made in Chicago. I was doing news videos that Kanye was actually going around Chicago looking at property before he eventually bought. No, he'd already had the ranch, but before I think he decided to move a lot of the manufacturing out to Wyoming. So what was it? There was the recent interview where he talked about foam runners.
Yeah, he was talking to Pharrell for that. God, what's the name of the app? Like iSpy? I made that up. I don't
ID?
Remember what it's called. Yeah, yeah, yeah. iSpy with My Little Eye. Kanye said, we're sitting here in Wyoming figuring out how to do manufacturing during COVID. The foam runners we're coming out with in June are our first American manufactured items, and we got to figure out how to do licensed, localized manufacturing. So it sounds like he figured out how to do that.
Yeah, and that interview released June 11th, but I can't remember when they said it actually happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think it happened on June 11th, but we're running out of time in June for the foam runners to come out. But the foam runners are cool. They're kind of like a orca-looking Crocs.
Yeah, orca? Like a dolphin?
Like a whale, like a dolphin. They kind of have that like
yeah, I get
dolphin
that.
Head with the front of the shoe.
Like an orca mixed with a gator.
Yeah. Yeah, now we're talking.
Here we go. I feel like this again, I don't know anything about, you know, financials and fashion and everything, but I would imagine that part of the reason a lot of places can afford to make more affordable clothing is because they do manufacturing overseas where it's cheaper. And that's why you don't see a ton of companies like making products in America. So this like it's like a double-edged sword for kind of like he's trying to figure out how to make his clothes more affordable and make them in America, which is probably tough to do, and it's cool to see him doing it.
Our guy is trying. And these foam runners, like, I think I'll probably get a pair price dependent. Like, you need like a good lounge shoe, I think. And I at one point bought Crocs because I just can't bring myself to ever wear them. So,
wait, are the foam runners supposed to be like just lounge shoes, or are you supposed to wear them outside?
I mean, I think it's kind of like Croc-like, where you can wear them outside, but they're more just like that comfort utilitarian shoe rather than like I'm going high fashion right now.
Okay, that makes me want to buy them a little more. I mean, don't get me wrong, like they look cool, but like I don't know if I have enough clothes to match those. So it's good to know that I'm not even supposed to try to do that.
Oh, I absolutely have no clothes to match those. I'll just let people see me in the foam runners and that be enough to be like, that guy's got style.
So you just mean you're gonna go out naked in foam runners?
You gotta do what you gotta do.
I mean, I get it.
Fashion is about comfort.
Until you're arrested, yes.
Yeah. Those cops.
Yeah, you should show up to a protest naked in foam runners, see what happens.
Be like, behold. I just get hit with every kind of like
everything.
Tear gas, rubber bullet, like
the crowd cheers.
Taser. Yeah. Everybody unites. That's a thing that finds peace between the sides.
Yeah, the cops are finally like, you know what? Like maybe we should be defunded. I see what you're saying.
We just wasted all of our ammunition on that guy. So the foam runner, we'll see if it drops soon. I mean, you go to the Yeezy Supply website and it's back to countdown mode with 14 days, 17 hours and 41 minutes, where when I look at the calendar, it seems like there are only 4 days left in June. So it might be a July release or just surprise drop at some point. But
well, maybe those days are being measured in dog years.
Whoa.
So it's like 2 days.
Blowing my mind. Yeah. And then following that, we have Jesus is King Dr. Dre version.
Gosh.
Is this what you're most excited about?
I mean, like, I am excited about it, but I'm also deeply confused by it because I don't know what that means.
That's true as well. So back at the end of 2019, I like that The Guardian just has a big yellow tab that says, this article is more than 7 months old. why do you have to tell me that? So Kanye tweeted out a picture of him and Dre in the studio, and it said, "Ye and Dre, Jesus is King, part two coming soon." And the part two made everybody think sequel, follow-up, especially because we know that there were songs that were played during the listening party that ended up cut from the final album, and a lot of other like leaks and random songs that people really wanted to make a comeback from Yandhi, even if that meant that they were Jesus is kingified. But now with Kanye saying that it is a Dr. Dre version of Jesus is King, yeah, what's that mean?
Yeah. I mean, that could just simply mean the sequel. Like, it's Jesus is King part two. It's just another iteration of it, like the next step of it. Or it means that Dre, being a producer, like goes in and like does a bunch of remixes. I don't know. I mean, I'm down for it no matter what. As long as Kanye's on it, like, I'm there.
This is like the late orchestration of Jesus is King.
Or again, what, down for it.
Linkin Park did Reanimation of Hybrid Theory. So they just took all the songs from Hybrid Theory and let people remix them and do different shit with them, which was awesome. Like,
I thought you were going to compare Linkin Park working with Jay-Z to Kanye working with Dr. Dre.
No, that probably would have been the better comparison. But
I don't know.
I just really wanted to talk about Reanimation.
Hey, go for it.
But yeah, I mean, and the next thing, Wash Us in the Blood video by Arthur Jaffa, that leads us down a multiplicity of choices, right? Not choices, options, potentials, because either that means Wash Us in the Blood, which Kanye had mentioned in an interview as a track that he was working on back in, when did that come out? Like April?
Yeah.
Yeah, April 15th. Lyrics from an unreleased Kanye song, Washed in the Blood, according to GQ. Thanks, Team Kanye Daily. So does that mean that that was being associated with God's Country? Because Arthur Jaffa had mentioned God's Country, he thought was either the name of the project or the name of the song. We all thought that that was going to be the next album that Kanye was coming out with, because he had been working on music down in Mexico and yada yada. So is Wash Us in the Blood part of that next project, or is Wash Us in the Blood part of the Dr. Dre version of Jesus is King?
Mm-hmm.
Which could mean that the Jesus is King version of Dr. or could mean that the Dr. Dre version of Jesus is King has other songs on it, like L.A. Monster, Up from the Ashes, like tracks like that that we had kind of heard or seen the titles of. And it's just kind of an alternative track list that functions kind of as a sequel or part two. Or are these two separate projects? And you have the Dre version of Jick versus Wash Us in the Blood being the next God's Country. Ugh.
It's harder for me to hear Jick than it is T-Lop.
I can't say T-Lop. I don't know what it is. It's just the idea of, like, every time I say it, I just picture, like, plop, like something go, yeah, like plopping into a toilet, which, yeah, I can't. Oh.
Okay, you know what, now I get it. I was thinking, like, of like a fish flopping on the ground.
No, that's much nicer.
Oh yeah, it's lovely.
Jick just sounds weird too. Like,
it's not good.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be either of those options. Again, like, I don't care what form it's coming in. If I'm getting a new Kanye song and I'm getting a new Kanye video, like, sign me. Where do I sign? Like, what do I do?
Kanye just tweeted again while we've been talking.
tell me.
He just said, "Kid See Ghost animated show preview with my brothers, Kid Cudi, Tekashi Palm, West Day Ever," and quote tweeted the Kid Cudi tweet.
By the way, I meant to ask this earlier. You do know that Scott, what's his name again? Scott Medushi?
Miscuti.
Medushi. That's Kid Cudi, right?
Yeah. That's where the Cudi comes from.
Well, I know, but you kept saying Scott, and I thought, I was wondering, like, if you knew. I was actually wondering if, like, that's just the name Kid Cudi uses whenever he works on film projects. Like, he's like, no, this is like my stage name.
Yeah, kind of. I think all the movies I've ever seen him be in, it says Scott Mascotti in the credits. Like, he was just in Westworld season 3.
And I was looking on his IMDb, and it says he's been a composer for a couple of different random things. Like, it looks like it's mostly music videos, but there's a couple of like movies, and there's a short where he did music on. So I'm kind of curious to see those and see what he did.
Do so.
Chris is, I don't know what's going on over there.
I was just tweeting at Kanye.
Okay. I knew something was happening. Like, I knew it. And I knew it was on me to completely run the show at this point, but I don't have that ability.
I just said, is the tree a transformer?
If Kanye responds to you, I'm going to fucking lose it.
Could you imagine if we got a tweet from Kanye live as we recorded?
I don't know if this reality could handle it. I think it might collapse in on itself.
What is happening?
Are you still typing?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Yeah, so Arthur Jaffa, he's a bit of a big deal in the cinematography world, right?
Yeah, I love, before we started, because I recorded a video on Arthur Jaffa, he recorded some video where he said the God's Country music video was coming next week, and that was like a month ago. And I recorded that video for YouTube, and Chris was just like, naturally, it was like, oh, you must know a lot about it then. And I was like, no, I don't remember anything. But it slowly started coming back to me, and I remember that Arthur Jaffa is a big cinematographer in the African American community. Gosh, those three words, I don't know what that is. And has worked with like Solange and done a lot of cool stuff. So I'm down for this. This sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's won Best Cinematography Award at Sundance. That was back in 1992, but he still won it. Wow. he also did the music video for Jay-Z's 444. So it's another instance of Kanye and Jay kind of poaching one another, who one another have worked with or what they've done, which is a little funny. It just always makes me think of Big Brother, right?
Right, yeah.
Just the Coldplayness continues.
But next, Jay-Z is going to work with Molola Ungalesi.
Yeah, I hope so. And just see them continue to one-up each other.
Jay puts out a cartoon.
Oh, could you imagine?
The Adventures of Jay and Clay.
Could you imagine?
I mean, I almost think I should get this started. Like, pitch this idea to somebody.
Yeah, start writing the script, Travis.
All right. I'm going to cut this out.
And then the lyrics to Wash Us in the Blood are already available on Genius. If you can't wait and you're curious, it seems almost like the extension of Water. I'll admit I listened to the leak.
Chris.
But I only kind of half listened. I felt a little wrong.
Oh, if you half listen, it's okay.
Right. I feel like, what was it? Was it Clinton? It was just like, oh, I had weed, but I did it in hail.
Depends on what the definition of his is.
But it feels like, just looking at the lyrics, a lot more like Water. Like, wash us in the blood, wash us in your blood, wash us in the blood. Holy Spirit, come down. Holy Spirit, come down. Holy Spirit, help now. Help now.
You know what?
Genocide, what
it does. I don't need to listen to the leak, because I think I'm just going to listen to you rattle off the lyrics to me.
You do get that benefit.
Really getting the energy of the song here.
People should be jealous.
Can I hire you to just like read lines of lyrics and like put it on tape, and then I could just fall asleep to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
I'll pick out some weird shit for you.
Okay. Brilliant. I can finally make money. I guess that's I guess that's it with Kanye not retweeting us in the for responding to us.
Should we stay on until he responds?
Could you imagine?
This episode will never come out.
It's been 3 months. Kanye has not responded.
Kanye, we know you're listening. If you want to come on the show and give us more details about all these things, like, that'd be great. It would only take like 3, maybe 4 hours of your time. That doesn't include setup and general banter we're going to have and the dinner I assume we'll have afterwards. But 3 to 4 hours would be great.
Perfect. That sounds great. I accept on behalf of Kanye.
Oh, great. Wow. This happened. It was way easier than I thought it would be.
You know, sometimes he's just got to take the reins.
Okay. Well, we better get going so we can hop on this interview with Kanye.
Perfect. Okay. Until next time, everybody, we'll have more stuff, podcast episodes, as details release and things happen.
Yeah. But until
see
then,
ya.
Yeah, stay wavy, keep it loopy and all that.
That's right.
And I am. And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.